Good evening. It's Thursday evening, and we're glad to have you here. Brother Freedom is just now arriving, and the Lord has really been speaking to him today as he was in therapy. He's given me several phone calls already. He's so excited. So much material God's given him. So it's going to be a wonderful evening. We welcome you to the Holy Ghost Calling webpage. We hope you listen to everything because it's going to be some wonderful things from heaven tonight. God bless you.
Well, the first little circle, and this is what's so necessary because this was going to be a sermon night, but God really emphasized this, is spirit-filled people all, the joy of the Lord is their strength. So people that don't keep the joy, they're going to end up in this category. They're going to be in the next one up. It's spirit-filled people, but those that keep the joy. The enjoy part is so necessary. It's that part of God that has to be there to uplift us, upheld us, to make His face to shine upon us, to be gracious unto us. We live in His righteousness. We live in His holiness. We live in His attire. Oh, hallelujah. We're clothed with righteousness. We're clothed with His presence. And the next one is basically to the Pentecostal churches. But it's going to be a lot of these in here. But the Pentecostal churches is going to be named the Mechanical Church. They're the great Mechanical Church. Because they've developed power that's not God hadn't been signed on. It's there. And that's why nothing's happening. I mean, it's just in speech. It's in bragging. It's in self-uplifting. And that's in the group, the second group. So that's Pentecostals, all those others who don't keep the joy of the Lord. All right, the next one is the third section, which is probably, maybe it's going to be easier for them because this is all the other groups. Christians, anybody that accepts Jesus. That's the, the Seventh-day Adventists, Baptists. It's all in one. Okay, the fourth circle will be is for the people in this world that are not really, they're not bad people, but they've just not accepted Jesus. So that's the worldly people of this earth that are not really not adept to society, good citizens, yes, but they just don't know Jesus. And the last one can be in one or maybe two, but it's evil works in its fullness, pornography through great lust, through all these things that come in the world that so bring temptation so rapidly, like like the evidence is Las Vegas, Reno, witchcraft, and all the seducing spirits. What's that about that boy, that novel that the world's really sucking up with?
Oh, yeah.
That can be
Potter, Harry Potter.
That can be put in there, too. You might put another circle out, which is really, we don't worry with it about a lot, but it's people that's like possessed. Those are really, they're bound up with Satan, and they're still a different category than the word before, because, okay, so you got the circles. Now, where they meet together, Lord, we just pray that you'll minister to your spirit right now. And let this come out as you want it to come out. I pray for your anointing. I pray for your touch from heaven. I pray that you electrify this room by the power of God. I pray that you touch every word, make them be manifested through heaven. Lord, we pray for great works to be here this day. And Father, we claim for these people throughout the world when we get in this word, and they will receive it with gladness. They'll come in that place. They'll come into understanding, know what you're talking about, what you're leading up to. With your word, we just pray in mighty name. We just pray that I'll speak pleasing as if I'm not speaking right, just shut me off. Lord, you take over. Lord, I give you the praise, I give you the glory. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. This day was real special because I go to the gym every morning, but this morning I felt just a little bit hesitant really when to get there, and there's a lot of hesitations. That I found myself hesitating by the Spirit of God, like I didn't know. So when I got into the gym, the Lord started speaking to my heart. And the first thing He spoke to my heart, oh, hallelujah, spoke about the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we can bring all these categories down. There will be several categories that will be mentioned, and you can go through these as you review these. But there's reasons why Lord above called these out and brought them out to our attention. We might get the message that God wants us to get as prescribed as He spoke it to me. And I don't want any of you to be in the dark, because God doesn't want you to be in the dark, and I don't want to confuse no one. I want to try to bring everything up to date. I believe that God's able to do this, and I wish that He will take over and do His will. But to those that seek God in a very special way, God made us very special. And there's one way that keeps us in sync with God. There's only one actually true method. It is the joy of our Lord. This body is made to work in God's joy. It's not made to work where you don't feel good. You know, I can feel good, and the day is going to go good, and when I just feel good in the Spirit of God, and everything's going to go great. But let me get a bad day when I'm sort of down where I shouldn't be. Nothing's ever going to go that way. It makes all the difference in the world where our joy is at. Our joy of the Lord is our strength. And we need that joy to maintain in this last hour, not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit, said the Lord. God wants to bring a unity of His glory to His church. He wants to bring us into a place that there is one Spirit, there is one mind. The mind of the Lord will be emphasized in where we go. It will be the same instructions. It will be the same commands. God's not getting no one lost. We're coming in a place that we need to know what said the Spirit of God. The Word of God tells about in Revelation, what does the Spirit speak? What did the Spirit say? Third chapter of Revelation, that's what it ends up. What does the Spirit say? What does the Spirit say? And that's what we need as individuals. We need to know what saith the Spirit of God. And I tell you, out there, you're all missing it. I tell you, you're missing it. Great. And you need to realize that God wants to bring us together in a very special way. God wants to start being the leader, and still you get to be a leader. You can have your people with you, but still, God has to be the supernatural power. It's not your voice no longer. You're going to have to get in. It's you're maybe be over the body, but you're not really in force. You're prescribed only through the dutyship of the Spirit of God, the leadership of God's Spirit. He wants us to be wholly inspired by Him, that we might not follow false worship. We not get things in our head because we like it, sounds good within it, but that's not what God wants for us. There's things that people prescribe as things from the churches. It's bogus. It's fallacy. It's terrible. It's bringing people down to they lose their soul. And when you start losing souls, it's time to start changing your ways. It's time to seek God and ask Him what's going wrong. And God will tell you very shortly. He will tell you exactly what you need. You need an up-to-date visit with Him. And you get down those prayer bones and pray until you get set free. And that's what every church needs to do. And you get upon God and fast on prayer until God comes down. I've done it time after time. And it works. But people have lost that. They've lost that praying through. So the Spirit moves. And when the Spirit moves, then you wait on Him. What is the answer? But everybody gets up and goes home, and the Spirit hasn't moved, and nothing's moved, and you got down and you prayed a few minutes, but no one got prayed through. There's a difference in praying through to God. God wants us to earnestly seek Him, that we might call upon Him as Nineveh. When Jonah went to Nineveh, the same way, he proclaimed, "The Lord's coming." And they put on sackcloth. They repented. And that's what God's speaking about. We don't know more mamby-pamby, flaky, and not important messages from heaven that you call from heaven, but they're from your own selves. We need to hear from the Lord. We need to walk in His judgment, His counsel, to His direction. Without that, we're going to miss it. And that first circle is most basically to those who are walking in the joy of the Lord is their strength. The problem is a lot of our teenagers don't know this because they haven't been inspired. The parents don't know it either. But the Lord is coming very, very soon. It's makeup time now. It's time to study for this big test that's coming through the clouds of glory. And to make an A on this test is what we're going to have to make. We can't pass the B. He wants us to make A's. We come through in flying colors, and God says, this is my good and perfect child that I love. I appreciate him because they've been an overcomer. And God wants the church to start to be overcomers. To overcome, that means overcome that which you have struggled with. And you're going to be struggling for any of this only if you come into this first category. You can go the Pentecostal way. I've been very familiar with it. There's been a lot of noise, a lot of jumping up and down, and a lot of soul searching for Sunday evenings and Sunday mornings. But through the week, everybody is bye-bye, and you forget till the next week. But that's not what God wants. He wants us to be led of the Spirit. Thus saith the Spirit of God. He wants us to come out from among them, that we might be separate, that we might be a holy people walking in God's presence, walking in His life, walking in His name, walking in holiness, preferring God above everything else. And you might say, that's really a hard message, sir, that we can't do this. But I'll tell you, if you want to live, and if you come into us, it's easy. But that's where this next circle is. They have never learned to come into that circle and stay in it. So, now comes the truth. And now comes what the Lord has showed me. And you start hearing these words, and we're going to start putting them together as God formulates us. But if you can imagine yourself, each one of us, here in this room wherever you are, where you hear this word, do you imagine yourself being as a vessel unto God, but you don't really see your body in it? It's just your spirit's in it. And God wants your spirit to start being the vocal person within you. That's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that God's very considerate about, very questioned about where we are. But the old man, which is the other part, it's the part that we're supposed to denounce. As we grow in the Lord, we're supposed to denounce the hidden things of darkness and pursue lightness. But we're not doing that. We're having great intervals of people speaking, saying, well, it's all right to sin. It's basically, God expects us to sin. But the problem is, if you let a little sin in, you can't stop him. So picture yourself going back that you're in this vessel as a spirit. And God sees you that way in a very special way. So the spirit, you're there in this. I can see it this morning so vividly. And hopefully I can tell it out as it, I've seen it and felt it. But in it, I was perfect peace. I was hid. And God brought me back to what I had spoken many, 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 many times about the 91st Psalms. I brought back that place, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and I will say to the Lord, and all that was coming to light. My vessel was starting to grow, and I could see my being, but there was one occupancy with me, the Holy Spirit. So, you have to make room for that one that dwells within you. Now, my brother and I are going to have to do some coloring and some shading in, and you're going to have to get this in vivid things that we're going to explain later. We're going to have to get it out where you can see it in your place of worship or your place of your home, wherever you are. But the first circle, the joy of the Lord is my strength. In that circle, it's transparent. I see it this morning that you could not see it. You could just see the beauty of Jesus in each one of these vessels. These vessels that we're part of, like that vessel that you occupy, the Holy Spirit was in you. And the enemy could not know you. He didn't know nothing about you. He didn't even know where you were. But you're going to have to wait till this comes on down. This will start meaning something to you. Because you say now, well, I've known that a long time. No, I don't really know you have or not, because unless God's given you a supernatural touch. That section there, that round circle, the first round circle, my brother's going to put that as a clean lacquer, whatever it is. The next one is the Pentecostals and those who have having trouble praying through those and those to overcome, to those who have trouble with the enemy. And probably most all of you out there, you're having trouble with the enemy coming against you. Well, most of them you lay in the second category. God's not through with you there, but you lap around this first category. And I'll explain this in a minute. So this category here is those who have really known the way, but somehow they've lost their way. And their importance of Jesus is not the same as when they started. They don't have that burning of the Holy Ghost with them. They don't have that desire of loving God more than anybody. They're content to be in their establishment, to make loud noises and to jangle things, and they call this as emotion. It is emotion, but it's the wrong emotion. We need to have the sweet, sweet spirit in our spirit. We need to have the joy of the Lord. The 12th chapter of Isaiah, and we're going to read that because it's where we need to realize that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We have to pursue God. God expects us to pursue Him because He's like one that's pursuing that young lady. When that person finds that right one, that groom pursues that for the bride. And we need to pursue Christ. We need to pursue what God's given to us. We need to come in that place to seek Him with a strength. Seek Him all the time, praising Him, thanking Him for what He's done, thanking Him for the great, marvelous blessing. And also that first category is going to be those who are very thankful. Said, Lord, I love You, and I praise You, and I thank You because You made me I'm very fearfully and wonderfully made, and I know that You're keeping Your hand upon me. And that day You will say, I will praise Thee, for Thou art angry with me, and Thy anger is turned away, and Thou comfortest me. You know, we're really come to the place that we almost anger God, because we're not where we should be. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Hallelujah! We need to learn that. God give us that voice from heaven, and that should be a resounding. This should be what you hear wherever you go. The Holy Ghost should move like it moved on me then. A lot of things that God moves upon, there's no interpretation. And there's a lot of things that people interpret in church that there's no interpretation. It's just man's interpretation. Now, I've been to some churches I know. I know that God called me for a week straight and told me to give exactly what message to give. I gave that message out, and that church was, oh me, oh my. And there's another voice come out and says, oh my people, you know, you don't have to worry no longer about these things. It pertains to what I did first heard. Now, God loves you so much. You're so wonderful. You people are beyond anything that you can imagine. And I'll tell you, they were despicable. They had troubles in their boundaries. They had troubles in their people. They had troubles. They had trouble staying awake. They had trouble worshiping their God. And we must worship the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul. Make a joyful noise on the Lord, all you land. Serve the Lord with gladness. That was my message, just to serve the Lord with gladness, come into His presence with singing. Know that He is God. He is the one that made us. We are the sheep of His pasture, enter His gates with thanksgiving, enter His courts with praise. Hallelujah! God is here for us to praise, to uplift, that He magnify, and He'll glorify us through His Spirit. It's not by might, nor by power, but by His Spirit, saith the Spirit of God. And that day ye shall say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. His name is exalted. Now His name should be the highest name in your place of worship. It should not be about you. It should not be about your pastor. It should not be about yesterday. It should be about God. God has given us all things. God has given us all worthy. He's given us all glory. We might come in His praise, and we might love Him and glorify Him because He's worthy of all praise, all glory, adoration is to Him. We glorify in Him. And I believe that's enough of the 12th chapter of Isaiah because when He says we draw joy out of the wells of salvation. That joy of the Lord every day of your life, you've got to bring in that joy. You've got to bring in that joy every day, and you do this as you trust God. You're not looking at what you see, but you're looking at what you have seen. Because those that look to the natural way are going to miss it. You're not going to have no joy. But you have the joy because the Lord that you trust Him. And you believe that He's going to do great and mighty things. And you know that He's going to do great and mighty exploits. Because He is going to move in this last hour. And we believe it in our heart. And the joy, that joy becomes my strength. That joy becomes a lasting peace from heaven. And we mature in the Spirit of God under His mighty counsel, under His direction, under His calling. We will not miss out where we're headed. But the Pentecostals, I've been there. They have missed it. Their messages from self. I hear them all the time. It's self, 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 self. God wants to be the leader. God wants to have the last word. God wants to be the King of Kings, the Lord of glory. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of glory. And we must come under His counsel, under His leadership, under His direction. Thus says the Spirit of God. We have to do that. And while we're at it, I'm just going to go a little farther. The next category is the third circle. This goes to all of your groups of, it says the name of Jesus. Maybe a real low class way, but God sees all these endeavors of all their hearts. Now you might say some of them don't have much. Well, that's still between them and God. And this is why these wheels here lap over. And you'll see there's a long, long, like a funnel in each one of them. And they go down and touch to where the lines meet. If you'll start, if you got a magnifying glass, you can see it very vividly. All right, that is every one of these circles, there's going to be some that will be saved. Some in all these areas. You can't go out and judge people because there is going to be some in all these areas that have not renounced the name of the Lord. They have been out in the words. They're seeing God. And there's some that live in the big churches that are going to be saved because they really love the Lord. And God knows our endeavor. God knows our faithfulness. And if you're faithful, God will keep you. He'll keep you as sitting in a church that never moves. He'll keep you. You don't have to do anything, but God's there because you're there as His spokesman. He's there to help you, to strengthen you. He's there because you're there. And one thing you need to learn before you go any farther, you don't move in God's Word until He tells you to move. You always stay where you are. Having done all to stand, then stood standing fast. So if God doesn't tell you to move, you stand still. And you rejoice because you're helping those others to come into God's presence. Help them know that God is God. And He wants to bring them into a revival. He wants to bring them into safety. We're at the edge of this. Right here is an entrance. It brings us into safety. All of us. Even the first circle here, we all meet here. Right at that meeting area is the place, the entrance that God, we all have to go, even if we're in this, joy of the Lord is our strength. We might have all the fringe benefits, all the benefits, but in that last moment, we all come through that narrow passageway. We all come together right here. Isn't that wonderful? It doesn't make any difference how high we've walked, how mighty we've talked, how many blessings we've had, how many people we've seen saved, but when we come in that last time, we all walk in that narrow way. Can you see that? You can see it, can't you?
Yes.
And that's what we need to understand. All of these circumferences here are gathering of people. All, even this the outer ones, there'll be some there, we somehow be supernaturally saved. And they'll come into the place that God has them. There may be different rewards. And probably there is some different rewards. But they all, we have all a way. We cannot zero anyone out. That's why we got to pray for all people. We got to pray for those who have lost the way. We got to have a sympathy within our heart that we pray for the unlovable. We pray for those that are not holy. Because the Bible says without holiness, no man shall see or be able to please God. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Every place we are, we remain faithful. If you find yourself even that outer place, hang on to God and God will bring you through. It's just going to take you a while to get back in, but you're going to get back and like the freeway. You're going to get back in and you're going to be on the highway. And when you get on that highway to heaven, you're on your way there. And you're going to have your reward. However you serve God, no one's going to be able to take your reward. You're there to, He's there to position you that you won't lose out one fraction of what you have. Nothing. If you give a cup of hot water in His name, you're going to receive a blessing for it. But the Lord is just trying to get us this day in recognizing what there is. And I'm going to come start speaking some more about these areas. There's the God's worldly people. That's those who have lived. I see some all the time. They're more open to the Spirit of God than most everybody else. They don't accept it, but they are open to it. Now, I think some of these at that time will come in. That funneling of the world. And the last one is the evilness. And there'll be probably not a lot there, but there will be some. But somehow that they will be tried. And they'll come through all that repetition of things. They'll come in down and they'll find themselves longing for salvation. Longing to have that Savior. Longing to come into that place of Jesus as their Lord and Master. Come to that place that they have that love, that abiding power of God within us, that we're able to be more than conquerors through Him which loves us. That we have that love of God. We have that compassion. We have that friendship. God the Father, God the Son. And the Bible says, if a brother be overtaken with a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one the spirit of meekness. Consider thyself, lest also that shall fall. Bear thee one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ. We need that in the church this day. We need to be able to say, oh, judge nobody, but say, oh my, Lord, help me to be in that place. Help me to be in that place that you desire me to be. That I don't point fingers at nobody. I walk in your spirit. But I truly believe that first circle, if we do our homework right, because if we pray and seek God and call upon Him, I believe that 100% of those people are going to make it that enters. This next section, I don't know. God's going to have to do that. He's the one that's going to do this. But I know there's not going to be 100% in the next section. And the next section beyond that, there's going to be few, because I really believe it takes the Holy Spirit to help us to maintain in something different than we've ever had before. Till up to now, we've had what we call salvation. And so people would get in the funeral homes and people would say, well, you know, they accepted the Lord at that last hour and they felt that they were saved. Well, maybe they were. So we're not going to say they weren't. That's last hour commitment. But that's like getting in on scare tactics. Like getting in on something that you're just in the tail end of it. And how would you feel being in heaven where everything's so wonderful? And when you get up there, you feel so out of place because you're going to remember that you was pretty worldly. You was pretty out there with the boys and some of you with the girls. And some of you was walking in lust. Some of you was walking in pride. Some of you was walking in the things of this world, the cares of this world, the envy, the strife. You know, and there's so much envy in our churches. You know, it's shame, but you can feel envy when you walk into the door of the church. And this is terrible because God is not going to allow that in His people. So we literally have to renounce these things. Now is a time to clean house. Now is a time to take some garbage bags in and fill them up with the old trash and take them out and dispose them. Put them in the seas of forgetfulness, never to be remembered no more. But you know, we really need to not put in so much emphasis on getting people saved until we're ready to make a deep commitment for the people that we're getting saved. Now hear me out, all of you. People in the past have thought, well, you get people saved and that's where it should be. But that's not where it should be. The Lord showed me this a few years ago. He showed me that I seen about a million babies dying and I could not figure it out. The Lord said, this is not a death that I've seen as a natural, but it was of those who have received salvation, and the people that have brought them into salvation have left them. The Lord showed me yesterday how that would be if you took a people in the hospital And you worked so hard to get them down in that hospital that they might receive Savior. They might see the saving power, the medicine that they need. And you kept them in good health until you got to the hospital. At the hospital, they said, we haven't got no more people here. We have no more doctors. We have no more medicine. Now, that's what the churches have done with God's people. I know bunches of them. The people got them saved. Those people are lost today. And we as God's people should repent of this, because the Bible says it's seven times worse if you know the way and ever depart from it. There should be someone that's been big enough said, please, sir, please, girl, please, boy, please, consider what you're doing. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to stay saved. God wants you to... I called a person this day, and I told this person about when the Lord was speaking that we need to really stay saved. And this person didn't understand it at all. I said, well, that's the way it is. I had to really to explain that we need to stay saved in God. I don't believe that we can get out here and get saved today and go downtown next week and go to the houses that do wrong things and the bars and all these things. If I should die after that, I lost the way. To me, that's very simple. Now, some people say, no, that's okay. But I see that God is very expressing as rightness in His Word. He says to come out from among it. He doesn't say go into it. He says, be separate, said the Lord, and I shall touch you, and I shall be with you, and I will bless you. When we make that first impression of love, that we love the Lord thy God, we need to tell that person. We need to very specifically tell them they can't quit. Whatever you do, you can't. Out there today, wherever you are, you might feel like quitting the boat today, but please don't quit. Don't give in. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to stay saved. God wants you to have His Spirit with Him. He wants to have that blessing. And He wants you to be alive unto God. Dead in sin, but alive unto God. You need the power of God. You need the freedom of God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost within you. We need that which is greater in you than He is in the world. Not your heart be troubled, neither the Lord be afraid, for in our Father's house have any mansion. If it were not so, He would have told you. He's going away to prepare a place for you. And if He goes away, He will come again and receive unto Himself. Where He is, you might be also. You need to realize that your vessel is very worthy of God's love. God wants you to be blessed. God doesn't want you to fall out of the ranks. He wants you to keep marching. He wants you to keep going on, being strong, Lord, and power of might, that you might put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand the wiles of the day and having to stand. We need to realize that God is speaking to His church throughout the whole world. And these circles, they meet together as God's loving touch in all departments. He knows the Pentecostals have lost the way. He knows the Seventh-day Adventists, the Church of Christ, all the others. He knows where they are. So speak between Him. We're not going to judge. We're not going to cast stones, because we are going to look to them with love and pray that God will bless them mightily. So there's going to be people saved in all these categories. They're going to be, God's going to have, heaven's going to be enlarged. But I don't really know exactly about the coming of the Lord. So this is the way of salvation here that I showed you. But now the way of the Lord, the circle, we don't have a meeting place when we come to the Lord. These circles don't meet. You got to have something now to be able to attract that spirit, because your spirit is going to be lifted up with God's Spirit. There's like a magnet. I like it as taking a can of bolts and nuts and putting all over this and taking a magnet up here. It will pick up matchsticks, straws, paper, but that's bolts. Wow, just picks up. I think that's what we're going to have. If you got that in your mind right now, you just take your little, you ought to have fun at your house, just take a bunch of bolts and nuts, put them all in place that you got a spot that you got to do this, watch it, and put some straw. The straw, you can say, well, this is the people of the world. And this, you might make a little bit here. Well, this is for those who have lived for the Lord. Might come a little bit up. This is the the Pentecostals have really got their names written, and they've got the mechanical church. God says it's a mechanical church because it says they know their direction. So it's mechanical. You know exactly what you're going to do because you planned it out a week ahead of time. But I learned with God, you know, He knows all things. Now, a few years ago, I prayed for a girl one morning because God told me to pray. And I never had done this 30 years ago. And the Lord says, I want you to pray for this girl. I want you to pray for this girl because if you pray, she's going to be saved. She's going to be in a car wreck. God showed me that. This is 5:00 in the morning. So I started really praying because I said, Lord, I don't want nobody be held accountable for nobody. So I prayed in the spirit. I prayed the heavenly language. I prayed with great lament. I mean, I prayed I was prayed through 2 or 3 times. I prayed through 5 times. I was prayed through. But God was speaking to me. And at the last 10 minutes of the way, it was about 8:00 in the morning and I had to turn off of this road. Get there about 8:00. So a little before 8. And I told the Lord, I says, you know, I said, I haven't seen nothing happen yet. And I've got to turn off. He says, I know you do, but right now you're going to see the accident. I seen this girl hit this tree, and that pickup totally exploded. And the Lord says, show me who she was after she hit the tree. And that's who it was. Her name was Nancy. And I went around, and that whole cab of this Dodge pickup exploded. There was no fire. And he hit that walnut tree. It's a huge walnut tree. You can see where the bark was ripped off and stripped off of the impact. How that tree didn't move a bit. And how that poor little Dodge pickup just went every direction. And she was laying in that with her. All this happening is like a tornado hit her. And she was sitting in. She was there all stripped off. There's no cab. I mean, it's just in a framework. She was in very lot of shock. So I told her, I says, your name's Nancy, and that she's, yes, it is. I said, you know that God loves you? She says, I know He does. I said, if you're getting the cab of my truck, I prayed many prayers in that truck, and I prayed this morning, come to where you are. It's very up to date. So I don't mind asking you to get in the seat of my truck. And when you get in the seat of my truck, I'm saying my truck because it's not my, I don't own it, but I'm the one that resides in it. And this is my altar to the Lord. I seen the state highwayman started coming toward me and the highway patrol, but I still went ahead with praying for her. I laid my hands on her and I said, in the name of Jesus, I prayed, touch Nancy this moment, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and that blood stopped immediately. She said, I'm okay. Please pray again that my folks are not upset. So I prayed again. These two men there was there, my men. I said, just pray for these her folks, that they'll not be really upset real, because this girl's going to be okay. I know her vehicle's totally demolished, but she's all right. And these the highway patrolman says, I'll get her home. So I let her right out there. I give her the good hands, the highway patrol. But anyway, God was not off 1 minute on everything that took place. And God's not off 1 minute right now on everything we do. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He proved Himself to me over and over and over again. He's not off a moment. One time I was going to test a transmission in a V8. I'm going to tell you this because I want the emphasis on knowing that God knows now. He knows tonight. This is the night. This message is not going out to you in vain. God has ordained from heaven that your ears would hear what He wants you to hear. Be inspired by heaven. And the words that come forth are mighty words because they happen. They happen. They happen. They're happened because they've happened. And they're true. They're no lies. And I'm starting up that cat on a Saturday morning after I went to prayer breakfast. The man and I that owned it went to prayer breakfast and I started to pull that throttle back. And when I did, the Spirit of God told me, shut it off. And I killed that throttle. And this man that was with me says, what did you do that for? I said, I guess it's a rag going through the pump. And I just spoke it out. I didn't know that. But God spoke through me. I was like a dumb. God spoke through me. He says, what did I say? I said, the rag's going to the pump. I spoke it. He says, yeah, I know. I said, let's just take that off very shortly and I'll have it off. So I was very fast in those days. So I got my 9/16 and a couple wrenches there and got that elbow off. It goes in the pump there because it wasn't too secure at that time because I wanted to make these only tests only, so I didn't have the brackets on all the other things that come on later after you test them. So I got a buried vast, got in there, and there was two rags going to the pump. And that would probably snap that shaft off that goes to that pump, and there'd be serious troubles when it happened. You can't run an engine at that force, and something might happen, and something stopped, something's going to break. But God knew it. That didn't happen. It didn't happen because God kept it from happening. What I'm saying, this, I can tell you time after time after time, God is not in the business for you to have troubles. He wants you to succeed in life. And that's why tonight you need to plan to have Him take over your life, to walk as a new man in His umbrella, under His... the first great thing that I ever did in my life was when I prayed those 8 years. I prayed in my life, I wasn't satisfied what I had. And I hope that you're not satisfied here tonight with what you have. But you need to realize that God wants to bring you into a place of victory and promise through Him that you can walk upright in His commandments, walk in His blessing. I was going to say journeys, but they can be your journeys. I never had so much fun in all my life as I did for about the next 15 years. Every day, I can tell you, we've got, you can read them in there, prophecy and sermon. They're in there. My brothers said they're in there. So you can read them. These things happen. If you want to indulge tonight, you can verify what's been said. God is real. And I'm going to let off tonight because God is ministering in a mighty way. He wants to uplift you. He's here. I feel His Spirit is glorifying me here tonight that He might receive the praise from heaven. That your life might be changed into victory. Walking no longer in the old man, but you're walking in the new man, ensuring that you're going to get to heaven. Ensuring that you're going to get to heaven. We need insurance that we're going to make heaven. Because you miss out heaven, you missed out on the greatest. I can't even explain how great it's going to be. The emphasis, I have not seen, neither ear or heard, neither has entered the heart of man. I can't explain it. What's going to take place? Greater is He that's in you. He's, all we know is going to be great things. I was at a place today in the medicine shop. And I said, you know, the thing I've ever seen in life is work. I'm going back to work next week. I'm 75 and I'm going back to run next week. I'm happy that I'm going back. God healed my leg this morning. And I'll tell you, He healed my leg. Yesterday, I had so much pain that I could not walk. And I thought I was going to have to quit the treadmill and completely. And God put my leg back in place. And I haven't got no pain. Glory! Glory! I couldn't do that! Glory! You can see my leg is going up and down. My glory! God's here to heal you tonight. If you have a pain, please call us. God's going to heal you. God told me if you'll just take enough time to call in my brother Clint, that when we pray, you're going to be healed. Can you have that much faith? Believe. I know. Great things are happening, and they are going to continue happening because God is in business not to fail. He doesn't want me to fail either. So God bless you. I pray that God will meet your needs in a very blessed way. God bless you. I love you. I love you, and God will bless you in a mighty way. Bless you this night. I don't even know how to close. I'm not going to close because I'm going to meet you in heaven one of these days. We're going to meet face to face, and we're going to know as we're known, and we're going to have what's a wonderful time. We're going to be a wonderful day up there. We're going to be walking in God's presence, walking in His love. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I love you. Father, we love you. We praise you. We lift up your wonderful name. Hallelujah. 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 Thou art worthy of all praise. Thou art worthy of all honor. Lord, we praise you. We uplift you. When I say to thee, my people, behold, I, the Lord thy God, am with thee. Look not to any other, but look to me. I say, do not look to man's leadership no longer. Man's leadership will take you down to a way that you cannot come out of. But I say, look to me, the Lord thy God has made thee, and I'll incorporate my love within you, and I will sanctify thee, and I shall give thee a new start, a new direction, and I'll bless thee in a mighty way, and I shall give thee a new love, and thou shalt be loved, and thou'll feel my love, and thou'll walk in my love, and thou'll walk in my victory. Says the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Boy. Hallelujah. Oh, I got to tell you what's now. I missed some things. But I missed some things, so I got to add this. If you'll stay with the Lord and you stay in that inner circle, the enemy can't see you. You're invisible. He'll look for you. He can't find you. And you pray in the Lord, he don't hear you. He doesn't know nothing about you. His other circle, those people are really being tormented by the powers of darkness. I know this. And they can be changed if they start committing their ways totally unto God. God will restore them into that first circle. And that smaller circle can grow into a bigger circle. All these circles can grow in. It's up to us to adjust ourselves to what God wants us to do. We can either accept or reject, refuse or receive. So it's up to us to receive or refuse or reject. So God wants us to be more than conquerors through Him which loves us. I'm going to speak a little more right here about the second circle, which is the mechanical church. What God's saying about the mechanical church is actually the church that had really loved the Lord. Basically, where we are here today came out of that church, most all of us. But as we started getting into more of loosening our lines and coming into a place of walking very loosely, very loose living, and trying to get membership in our church instead of those who are changed by heaven. Our greatest desire should be to get people saved, then to keep them saved. And to keep them saved is very great, big, large parcel. But we cannot keep them saved in a mechanical church, because we need to be taught the value of the Holy Ghost. So we got to teach people to come in that they need the Holy Ghost. They don't need the pastor's sermons or nothing else, as good as they might be. Now his is to get people saved. He might bring in some messages if he gets Spirit-filled, but until he starts getting Spirit-filled, he needs to keep it down just to have it primarily just good services. But it needs to have an emphasis on the Spirit of God. It can help you. So as you start realizing in the mechanical church, it means that men are figuring out the sermons and not really waiting upon God. They're not really hearing from God. And I've talked to a lot of Pentecostals. They don't think you can hear from God. So that's the difference. But I know you can. So if there's those that way, the extra circles out from them is closer to coming in to salvation than where they are. Because that might keep you from coming into God's love. See, we have to take off the old man. And if we walk a life that's not led by the Spirit of God, we can't have true leadership. We've got false impressions. We've got false commandments that we can't keep. We try to obey the law and we find ourselves not able, because we're not full of the rest of the power that arrests sin. And that's the Holy Ghost. We need the power of God's Spirit within us. It's what the church needs, is having a revival of the Holy Ghost come down with old power. And when you stay in that revival until the Holy Ghost literally comes down, until He becomes the speaker of the house. He's the speaker of your house. He's the speaker that moves there. And you don't counsel people out because they want to speak in tongues. You realize that that is a gift that God's given. He works through that avenue. He works through the utterance of God's Spirit. The Bible talks in Jude. He says they build up yourself in the Holy, holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says not to come against that. And those that do, you're going to lose out your blessing. So when that's what the churches have done. I know that Pentecostal churches have stopped the ministry of the free movement of the Spirit. They've done it because there's wrong spirit people there, but the whole category is wrong. Right from the very get-go, you should have salvation through the Spirit of God. You need to house cleaning before you start church. You start a church and you're remaining in church without a house cleaning. And so now you've got a dirty church and things are being said that's not from God. And people are hearing things that's not from God. And you're getting prayers that's not from God. And people are coming praying for you. It gets you in deeper trouble where you come from. You need to be careful who prays for you. Be careful who moves upon your heart. You need to seek God in a very, seek ye first His kingdom. And the Bible says, then all these things shall be added. I think that's probably the best advice that I can give to you, because seek His first kingdom and put Him first. I remember the very first day of my Pentecostal walk. This has been back in 56. The Lord told me to go into jail ministry. I'm not against no pastors. I'm not against this pastor. I'm just going to tell you what happened. But God told me to go into jail ministry. When this pastor found out that I was going to jail ministry, he said, "You cannot go into jail." I said, "God told me to go in." He said, "No, I know more." But see, the Lord says, "Who are you going to listen to? You going to listen to me or the pastor?" I said, "Lord, I'm going to hear you." He's all straightened the pastor out, which he did. But if I hadn't been strong enough to have done that, I would have failed God miserably. And I've not been here today where I am, because all those places, I went through all these areas, I stood fast in the Lord. There may be some things that I haven't done. There's some things that I wished I could redo. But I have always made right decisions. And those right decisions keeps us in the heart of God. I've done some things that have wrong work, wrong jobs, and wrong things like that. And I wish I'd never done it. But what I am saying that God has forgiven me in those. But these areas that comes to the things of God, we need to keep that clean. And that's where I have a clean record. In those areas, I've always went God's way. I had a church I was voted into for another year as a pastor. On a Monday morning, the Lord, I was going down to another town. Lord, when I come across this county line, the Lord says, "You can't have the church." I said, "Lord, I love that church." He said, "I know you do. I want you to love me more." See, God wants us to love Him more than other things we have of Him. So what we've done, we've put things in for the sake of church. We're loving it better than God. We're loving a thing above God. You love the applause of your people more than God. That's an idol. We can't have idols in our worship. That's even worse than these other people that need to know the Spirit of God. Maybe those people will probably have more people coming out from them unless they have a repenting than where they are in the second circle. The second circle could be a hard people to break, because they've had a form of godliness. They've had the form. Those people, we need to repent. We need to seek God, because there are religious crosses over, and we think we get them confused. We shouldn't be confusing. We should either know it's God or it's a church. But the church will not have us move through the Spirit. Then you know it's not of God. You say, "We cancel out everything." I said, well, if they want to allow the Spirit of God to move, then it's themselves. It's a mechanical church. God wants to be the leader. Very simply, that God wants to be the leader of the Spirit. Now you say, "Well, I'm the spiritual leader of the church." Well, then God should be able to move you. If He's not, then you're just there as a mechanical pastor. And I believe this pretty well explains what's being said. In Revelation, it says we might be found wanting. And so I believe that there's going to be a lot of people to be found wanting. They're going to come short of the stick. They're going to come up short on inspiration from heaven. They're going to come up short on having that desire, that sinless life, that faultless life, that life above normal. We need a life above normal. We don't need to be in the way of the world. We need to come out of the world. We might be separate, special in God's eyes. We have to come to that place. We have to obtain righteousness. We have to obtain right favor. We have to obtain right judgment. We have to retain right calling. All these come from God Himself. They don't come from the natural place. The natural place brings us down. It makes the soul our life and our spirit. We like that because we like the plod of men. But we need to realize that we need to take a cleansing. And sometimes it's hard to be an overcomer. Because it's hard to work on those things that cause you to stumble. Well, I have had to work on my life. There's things that caused me to stumble that I had to work and say, "Lord, help me to renounce this. Help me to come into Thy blessing." things I had not really wanted to change, but I had to change. Right now, I've changed some things that nobody really knows about, but I have really come in a real special closer that I haven't been at for quite a while. I was pretty close, but I wasn't close enough. I'm close pretty now. I'm close. My voice is changing. If you'll say today, my voice is real on it. And you'll, I know it's coming out clear on this internet. God will help you. He'll make you, his face to shine upon you. He'll be gracious. That's the part that I want to bring out. When your conscience gets seared, you lose that closeness of God. You lose his favor. And so when you start working for God, you can't feel that joy that you once felt. You don't feel that joy of the Lord. It goes out the joy of the Lord. So we got to keep that joy of the Lord. And how you keep the joy of the Lord is staying in close relationship of the Holy Ghost. It's still, he is the bottom line of all this. All this comes back to him. If you can have a good relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, you're going to have a good relationship in your spirit. If you start having a poor relationship, you're going to have a poor countenance. You're going to have a half spirit-filled life. You're going to sort of be fooled. Some of the people are not going to feel God. So that's the one we don't worry about people, but we've taken people to be our critics. We don't need to worry about what they think, what they say, because most of them think wrongfully anyway. And we shouldn't have to worry about no one approval or God's approval. That keeps us on the straight path. When we're on the straight path, we don't judge your brother, we don't judge your sister. We walk clearly ahead as not a bigger than I or gloat of our own testimony, but gloat in the fact that God is real. We're proud of God because he's God. We want to walk in his strength and his power and his anointing. And we don't want, need nothing else. We don't need the applause of men. We don't need the identification. I'm not nothing that the men don't want. Look at me, most of them. But God's real. He'll keep you in that straight and narrow. And that's where we really all need to stay. This inner circle is strictly the straight and narrow. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That's another area. And our speech, we're so bigoty on our speech. We so brag so much. We brag in our great revelations that what we know, I don't know nothing. I don't really want to know nothing. Save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I want God to plan my service. And hopefully, if I can keep it that way, I know that I've got an entrance into heaven. And I don't even know if as long as I've walked, if I go out here and deliberately sin, then I might miss this rapture. This rapture is going to be something very wonderful. And if we miss it, we can't afford to miss it. We gotta say, no, I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna make it. I have faith. I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna walk in my faith and I'm gonna come pursue it. I'm gonna pursue that faith in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We're gonna pursue it. We're not even gonna speak nothing else. We're gonna speak God's grace, his wonderful power, his anointing. God bless you all. I pray that God will bless you in a mighty way. Love you all. In Jesus' name, amen.